Your local children's hospital is full of superheroes. Superhero patients. They wear gowns instead of capes and often fight evil on a microscopic level. And just like the doctors, nurses, and staff, you can help decimate illnesses and enemy foes for sick and injured children by gaming. Join Extra Life, a community of 50,000 gamers that play games and heal kids. Register at extra-life.org.
The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Gamefly, video games delivered. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, O searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast, Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
So, let's assume for just a moment that in comics right now, Batman is around 43 years of age.
Okay.
This would mean that it was 1984 when his parents were killed, which means it's possible that the movie they saw that fateful night was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Welcome to comics.
I am the night.
Well, how
I'm
do you
trying
follow?
Not to dignify that with a laugh because Paul Rubens is not one to be laughed at or with.
Well, how do we follow that?
Well, this has been fun. I see you guys in a month for Extra Life Marathon.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Extra Life is 1 month away. Less than a month by the time you hear this.
Ooh.
We are doing our marathon between October 30th into October 31st. Halloween, the best holiday there ever was.
Correct.
We're still coming up with appropriate games for Darren to play.
Yes.
We found one called I Am Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
It's an open world game.
Yeah,
it is.
No, I'm aware of it. I think we shared when the trailer was released on the Cave website, and oh my gosh.
Yeah, I saw it on IGN, so, you know, it's reputable.
They probably would have given it a 7 out of 10 because there was too much water in it or something.
So, back on track, our Extra Life Marathon is coming up. All donations go to Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. We play video games for 24 hours to help raise money for the kids because helping sick kids pay for hospital bills and stuff is one less thing that their families have to worry about.
Right, and hospitals are like extremely stressed right now anyway.
Exactly. So, Darren, if somebody wants to know more about our Extra Life and what we do for it, where can they go?
Well, obviously, just geekcavepodcast.com. That's the easiest way. You find the Extra Life link at the top. If you find our YouTube channel, you can find a link to our Extra Life page in any of our videos. And we also, when we live stream on Twitch, that is embedded directly into our Extra Life page as well. And whenever you listen to an episode of the Geek Cave podcast, we include links to Extra Life in the episode descriptions there as well. So you really have no excuse.
And we routinely post about it on our various social media pages. So if you can donate, please do. Any donation enters you to win some really cool prizes. There are a couple of prizes that are donation specific. But any amount will enter you to win from the giant pool of prizes. So not only are you helping kids, but you might get something in return other than the sense of gratification knowing that you are helping sick kids.
Oh, and if you listen to tomorrow's gaming episode, tomorrow as far as chronological order when we upload these, we're going to be adding another prize to the pile, but you have to listen to tomorrow's episode to find out.
Okay.
Hmm.
So, now that we've got that out of the way, shall we?
Let's.
who's got comic book news and or stuff to talk about?
I repurchased Mouse this month.
Ah.
Pulitzer Prize winning graphic novel by Art Spiegelman.
Yes.
Read it again. Remembered how absolutely wonderful the book is and atrocious its subject matter.
Yes.
But for those who haven't picked it up, a way too late review. See it. Pick it up. Buy it.
Yes,
it is. Support your local comic shop and then read it.
Yeah, it is. It is not for the faint of heart because it does deal very intensely with Nazi Germany and the war atrocities therein.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a great way to bring that to life so that it's understandable.
It is accessible in a way that isn't pandering.
Exactly.
Is how I would put it.
Yes.
Also, really good example of the what's called the Jewish black humor.
Uh-huh.
Black not being racial, black being tone.
Dark.
Tonal.
Yeah.
Amazing work. And I picked up the hardcover and it's
I saw that.
Really,
yes.
Really well done. So it's been out a long time.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a new thing, but it's one of those things where I think that about every 5 to 10 years needs to be reminded, hey, y'all, this is out there.
Go read.
Do yourself a favor. It puts an end to every argument I've ever heard that comic books aren't for serious literature, which we've known is poppycock for, well,
ever.
We've been doing this podcast since, well, you guys have been doing the podcast since like 2008. So.
You were there with us in spirit.
Absolutely. Well, not the very first one. You know, I joined a year later.
We don't talk about that one. That was like our warm-up.
Yeah.
That was the dress rehearsal.
That was before the first patch was applied.
I really wish we had that one available for everyone to listen to.
Oh, I think we do.
Yeah.
Just because it's...
on our Podbean page.
Yeah.
You gotta scroll through a lot.
You gotta go back to a lot, but it is there.
It's there.
And...
oh, boy.
And if you want to hear Darren sounding just... uber professional. Like, he stepped out of the newsroom and into the newsroom.
And hopeful.
He does, except he doesn't sound like he's having fun.
Okay, yeah, that is true.
It's like all of the news stuff in the world, you know, in the far distant past of 2008 was already weighing him down. The most fun he had was talking about Beatles Rock Band with Justin.
That's how I got the gig.
But anyway,
you didn't piss me off, son. Come on in. I got a job for you.
Gee, Mr. Wright, thank you.
Justin also sounds really young and hopeful and enthusiastic.
It was
yeah. As opposed to this broken husk of a man he is now.
I'm not even going to lie, folks. He's right.
Oh.
But yeah, in terms of comic news, I don't have news. I have a re-review of something that is absolutely, it is well worth the time and energy and money to read because it is a story worth being told.
Absolutely. And even if you can't justify buying it, check your library to see if they have a copy.
Yeah.
Because it is worth the read. It is worth the money, but it is more worth the time to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you, Chad.
You betcha, man.
Darren, what you got?
So, we have a Green Hulk, a Smart Hulk, a Red Hulk, a She-Hulk, who now sounds like the Hulk when she's in Hulk form. She's not as smart anymore.
Oh, aww. My God.
It's okay. She can revert back into human, and then she sounds fine.
No.
Yeah, I know.
It's not fine.
It's not fine.
I know. I'm being facetious. Marvel sucks. And now we've got a Devil Hulk.
A what?
A Devil Hulk. I'm not even counting the Hulk Hogan. But the Devil Hulk is... apparently it's been around since 2000. But Marvel kind of forgot that they had it. So they're reintroducing it in the Immortal Hulk. Not Hogan. The most recent issue, 38, I believe, I'm trying real hard to care, but we see what looks like this snake thing, and it's like covered in chains and it's locked somewhere in the desert. And Marvel's like, oh, the Devil Hulk. Okay, cool. I'll just make sure that he doesn't know that I play Dungeons and Dragons and it'll be fine. Iron Man is going back to basics. Iron Man number one is out. It's getting some pretty good reviews. Basically, Tony Stark is having a midlife crisis. No, I'm not making it up.
Again?
Yeah, he's downgraded to regular armor because he's got too much tech, and he bought a vintage 1978 Dodge Aspen, and he tried to get into a street race, and things went about as well as you would expect him to go in a comic book. As in horribly. All right. Yeah, he lost. He lost $5,000 in the race. And apparently that's setting up a new villain for Tony called Halcyon. And Thor trolled Tony. And
funded by that $5,000. Yeah.
Thor trolled Tony in probably the best point in the book, where at one point Tony's really down on his luck. It's a low point. And this hammer just lands out of nowhere from the sky. And it's Mjolnir. And inscribed on the side is, if found, please call Tony Stark. And it's got Tony Stark's phone number on it. I don't know. It got a laugh out of me. DC.
I thought you were going to say that he put it down on the, like he put the hammer onto the car so the car couldn't drive.
That would have been better. Now, and Tony even looks to the sky and he screams, damn you, Thor. But DC, they're still doing Dark Knights, death metal now. It was metal and now it's death metal. Does anybody care?
Not until they reach like heavy metal.
Yeah.
Well,
and then alternative metal. Then, of course, you're going to have, you know, grunge.
Yeah.
Punk. What other metals are there? I mean, there's a lot of metals.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Dark Knight's Swedish death metal.
Ooh, there we
Ooh,
go.
Ooh, yeah. I mean,
that's good stuff.
That's going to be like super dark.
Yeah.
Gothic even. Which is really where Batman's supposed to be.
Exactly. Yes.
But
I mean, better than industrial metal, certainly.
Exactly, yeah.
Well,
none of that mainstream death metal. I want the, you know, the from the core, from the roots, grassroots.
We want to hear guys who can make us fear the unrelenting brutality of harvesting carrots.
Yes.
Nice.
Like that. That's how deep that Scandinavian death metal is.
Right. Absolutely.
So, I'm going to throw a lot of word vomit at you here as I describe this book.
Poncho's up.
Yeah. It's Dark Knight's Death Metal Speed Metal. And it involves...
I forgot about Speed Metal.
And it involves...
Dang it.
It involves the Batman Who Laughs versus Dr. Flash Hatton.
Doctor Who?
Yeah. Wally West got the powers of Dr. Manhattan after the end of that story. I forgot the name, but, you know, Superman versus Dr. Manhattan. Yeah.
Countdown,
I think. See, this is what 2020 has done to us. But anyway,
my brain is full. Can I go now?
No, you can't.
No.
But
dang it.
You signed a contract, man.
There is one good
point of it. Wally West.
It ends?
Wally West is able to I don't even know how to describe this other than say he outruns his Dr. Manhattan powers. So he,
of course he does.
So he can become the traditional Wally West Flash again, and his wife and kids remember who he is, and they finally restored him to his status quo, and all it took was Heroes in Crisis to ruin him, and then something completely absolutely insane to fix him, and oh, by the way, Heroes in Crisis has been retconned. Wally West didn't cover up those murders because, you know, he covered up the murders, but... It turns out the Reverse Flash was in his ear the whole time, convincing him using super speed hypnosis to cover up what happened in Heroes in Crisis.
I would like to go on record to say that's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. So comics are weird. I do have a discussion topic, but first, I read something good.
Oh.
Yes.
It was the final issue of that X-Men series has been on.
No.
It's just redeemed the whole thing.
Absolutely not.
It gives the reading order so it all makes sense.
No.
That's all it is it's just a whole bunch of blank pages with numbers on them to say this is the issue order.
That would be hilarious, but no, my subscription...
When you lay the covers out in a specific way, it reveals a secret message, and everything clicks.
Oddly enough, you were supposed to start with issue Q.
Yes.
No, every issue of that subscription, because it's a mail-in subscription, now goes straight to recycling. So, no, that's not an issue.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I'm not even kidding. I'm done.
So irredeemable that you're not even... that you're mixing your plastics and your paper.
Yep.
By throwing the whole unopened thing into the recycling.
Oh, no, I sort it properly, and I remove the staples and all that stuff, but yeah, straight to recycling.
Whoa.
Sorry, Hickman fans.
You know, there's a thing called a phone. You can, like, cancel the subscription.
No, no, it's already paid up. I just had to wait for it to run out.
Ah.
So I'm just letting it run. I'm letting nature take its course.
You know, what you should do is you should, like, take it and, like, just seed it in places around your home city. You go to a hockey game and you just leave it on one of the seats still wrapped up.
Yeah.
You know, somebody would take it home and suddenly we've got a new comic fan.
Or we have someone who hates comics now.
Or somebody who hates comics now. Put it on the back. Don't blame geekcavepodcast.com.
Well, you get points for recycling. Thank you, Darren.
But anyway, DC re-released this year Superman the Man of Steel Volume 1, the 1980s relaunch of Superman after Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yes.
It's in a 480-page book, and Ooh. It includes... let's see if I can track this down. Superman numbers 1 through 4, Adventures of Superman 424 through 428, and Action Comics 584 through 587. Basically, this is like Superman at his best. This is a lot of the stories in here is what the Superman animated series drew inspiration from. It's written by John Byrne. It's got Marv Wolfman and Jerry Ordway involved. This is prime stuff. This is like the Wagyu beef of Superman comics. It's real good. I highly recommend it, especially if you're someone who's new to Superman. Maybe you want to read up on him, if you want to learn more about him before the CW launches their new series in January, or if you're just someone who's like looking for an example of Superman written properly. This is the book you want to track down, other than the Superman Rebirth stuff right now. So yeah. Oh, and
funny how
it's available.
How
on,
you have to go back to the 80s.
It's also available on Hoopla for many of you.
Nice.
Now, that being said, I found something that I thought would make a good roundtable discussion, because this popped up in my newsfeed. Boom Studios, which, as you know, they're a comic book publisher. They have the WWE license, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers license, Firefly and Buffy the Vampire Slayer licenses, Bill and Ted. They got a lot of big licenses.
Mm-hmm.
They have a crowdfundraiser up and running for a Keanu Reeves project called Berserker. And they've turned to Kickstarter or whatever it is for it. And it just got me thinking, they have all these big licenses, which they are clearly making money off of. Why in the world would you need to kickstart something that involves Keanu Reeves? I'm pretty sure that dude's got money.
Yeah, and he doesn't spend much of it outside of, like, charities.
Yeah. Fair. But no, it just kind of, like, it caught my attention, because this is something we've seen in the world of video games as well. Big publishers, even, have decided, well, you know, we'll put it up on Kickstarter. No! You fund that shit! And so, it kind of caught me off guard, because, Chad, we were talking before we started recording how vanity projects really shouldn't get public funding anyway.
They should not.
No, and I agree.
That's the point of a vanity project, is like, I'm doing this myself with my own money, accepting all this risk because this is something I believe in. That's how The Last Witcher got made. You know, or... any of the Riddick movies after Pitch Black.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel's got a lot of vanity projects.
I'm sure he does.
Well, you got to do something with all that Fast and the Furious money.
Yeah.
Well, and do these Kickstarters, since they'll send the comics directly to the supporters, does that kind of hurt the comic book store business? Does it circumvent them in any way? I mean, That's an angle too.
Yes.
It probably does. I guess the question would be, you've got 11,000 backers. Is that how many issues you are expecting to sell?
That's a good question.
You know, so on the one side, this is certainly a way for a company to mitigate their risk. You know, okay, now we know how much interest there is and how much, you know, money there is to this, who's interested and how many and how so on and so forth. The other end of it, though, that's kind of the purpose of a business, is to take risk in order to make money.
I mean, you know,
especially a creative business.
Yeah. If you want to know what kind of interests there is out there, ask a question on social media. Hey, would you all like this? And see what kind of responses you get.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. That's how you get things that are not good.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that with, well, especially in the long box, we talk about that, you know, with some of these characters. It's just like, this is a terrible idea. See the superheroine before Faith.
Yes, Big Bertha.
Big Bertha. You know, terrible idea.
Yes.
Awful execution. But then on the other side, you have Faith. Excellent idea. Wonderful execution. You know, that's kind of the point of their creative business, is that you have people that say, hey, I've got this story to tell in this wonderful way. Let's try to sell it.
Now, it's worth noting that this is actually not untrodden ground. Back in 2015, Archie Comics tried a crowdfunding campaign to launch. They were relaunching the Archie series. But instead of giving Jughead, Betty and Veronica, and Life with Kevin normal relaunches, they were going to kickstart those three books, who had, again, been running for decades before this, and they were looking for $350,000. They canceled it 5 days later due to fan criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people get it. I wish Keanu all the best. I hope that his book is good. But I don't know. This one just kind of raised, not a red flag, maybe a yellow flag.
Well, I like the concept of this, you know, immortal half man, half God, trying to figure out why he is this way. I like that kind of concept. I will probably purchase, you know, one or two of these issues. It's a 12 issue thing that's being released in three novels over 2 years.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But I would have been fine with that anyway. Like, you didn't have to Kickstarter it. You could have just advertised it.
Yeah. Hey, we're doing this.
It would certainly be a refreshing change from all of the "we're not yet in November" advertisements that I get everywhere.
And the thing is, like, Keanu Reeves is so popular in geek culture right now. Bill and Ted, you've got Cyberpunk coming out in November on video game consoles and PC.
Mm-hmm.
He's a genuinely good guy by all regards. Just use that to market it. It's Keanu freaking Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not a huge fan of this idea. If it was a smaller company that didn't have a lot of licenses to their pantheon, okay, yeah, sure. You know, get fan support to get this going. Studios that have a lot of licenses and do fairly well should not be doing this.
Yeah.
It would be like Disney coming out with a Kickstarter for a new movie. I'm like, no.
Oh, man. I hope they're not listening.
You don't do... I hope they are, okay. Disney. No.
I need to see it now. Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, the animated series on Kickstarter.
No, it would be Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the animated series, live action adaptation.
Well, that wouldn't get any money.
Yeah, but that's the kind of crap they would try to... Anyway...
Yeah, we're getting in the weeds. Sorry.
Any other stuff?
No, I think that...
I'm good.
I mean, I think it's a bit hinky.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to something that at least I'm going to find enjoyable. Kent.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
It worries me when he personalizes it like that. Something I'm going to find enjoyable. Great. Thanks, Justin.
Oh, you are so welcome, my friend. Before we start today's long box, I want to say that if I've done my math correctly, this is my 50th long box.
Hey! Congratulations! Nice.
Nice.
I was able to put effort into something 50 times.
You did it! I'll send you a picture of a cake.
You did it.
Yay! So, the last couple months, I talked about Regrettable Superheroes. It was The League of Regrettable Superheroes by John Morse. And it's a collection, almost an encyclopedia of bygone heroes that didn't do so well.
Yeah.
But what would be a regrettable hero without a regrettable supervillain?
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
So, we're going to talk about some of the Legion of Regrettable Superheroes, another book by John Morris.
Okay.
First off, we have the malicious Colossus, X-Men, Russian, different guy. Created by Bernie Weist and first appeared in Colossus Comics number 1, 1940. One of the few villains to have their own series and debut in the first issue. So, you know, it's spectacular in that regard right there.
All right.
With the impending invasion of the plant aliens.
All right.
After 60 years, so this is like, okay, they were here, and 60 years later, they're coming back. The world is in a tizzy. Enter Dr. Blitzman and his new discovery, illegal steroids. No, I'm not done.
Oh, no.
He's presenting his findings to strapping He-Man Brian Hale and his hunchback ape-like sidekick, Richard Zenith. The steroids have the power to make Zenith into a shining example of athletic prowess, much like Hale. It's only after injecting Zenith that they realize that there's been a horrible mistake. Instead of using 2/100th part solution, it was 200 parts. Zenith grows 2,000 feet tall and declares himself Colossus, ruler of Earth, god to puny mankind. He kidnaps Eve, the doctor's daughter, and begins his rampage. Nothing seems to faze him. The army can't stop him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then, the plant aliens arrive. Will they be able to put an end to Colossus's reign of terror? We don't know, because it was canceled after the first issue. Next, we move on to the vicious Spider-Man. No hyphen, so you know it's not Spider-Man. Wait. So it's not Spider-Man, it's Spider-Space.
Oh, okay. It's like Spider-Man you find at Dollar Tree.
Kind of, yeah. Created by Otto Bender and Kurt Scheffenberger, he first appeared in Wiz Comics number 89, 1947. Predating Peter Parker by 15 years, okay? That's why Stan Lee had to include the hyphen. I'm assuming. He doesn't have spider powers.
Okay.
Well, what does he have, you may ask? Go ahead, ask.
What powers does he have?
Well, he has a suit that's arachnid-themed. And he has a hose that shoots out a sticky plastic-like substance that can be used for webbing. Even shooting it high enough to reach rooftops, allowing him to climb up the sides of buildings. His career started off with a bang. He hijacked a plane with a shipment of gold bound for Fort Knox. Sadly, his plans were foiled by none other than Captain Marvel, Shazam for the newer crowd. After that, he lowered his standards and became a street criminal. Yet Shazam, Captain Marvel for the older crowd, was always there.
Best joke so far.
Yeah. In his last appearance, he discovers the dual identity of Shazam / Captain Marvel and kidnaps him while he's still in Billy Batson form. Billy is able to remove the gag with the use of the sticky web that he's trapped in, saying the magic word, and frees himself and puts an end to Spider-Man's plans. He also crushes Spider-Man's pet tarantula under his mighty yellow boot in the process.
No! That makes Shazam / Captain Marvel the bad guy. You don't kill pets.
Well, okay, one of.
Okay.
Yeah. Next, we have the vile Sinestro. Wait. Sinestro, boy fiend. It's not Sinestro. It's Sinistro. So, my bad. Created by Henry Scarpelli and first appeared in Charlton Premiere number 3, 1968. And I'm not kidding. Jack Biceps.
Right. Because, okay.
Was an all-American boy, dashing good looks, admired by his peers, and the firm faith of his parents and teachers that he would walk the hero's path. But Jack Biceps had a secret. He hated heroes and all they stood for. But before he could do anything about it, he needed powers. So, using a blend of, and I'm quoting here, powdered mushroom, goat horn, spinach, and indignant goldfish.
They have to be indignant.
Indignant.
Jack was able to give himself a nasty stomach ache. But try again, as they say.
What is happening?
I broke the Chad.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry, you dumb shit.
This time, Jack goes more the tech route, arming himself with his hydrogyro sled, a piercing x-ray scope, a super gun that fires a purplish-brown liquid, a hypnotic light, and a pea shooter. He becomes the scourge of the heroing world, even taking on the likes of Captain USA. Unfortunately, he's just one villain against an entire pantheon of heroes. And with the world being so inundated with heroes, he couldn't keep up with trying to take them all down. So he gives up his dream because there's just too many of them. It's a sad story. It really is.
Oh my gosh.
And finally,
poor Sinestro.
Yeah. Finally, we have the heinous Starfire of DC Comics.
Wait.
Not to be confused with Starfire of DC Comics.
There's a heinous in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who doesn't like heinous?
Created by Mike Sikowski and first appeared in Adventure Comics 402, 1971. Our tale begins like many others. A pretty face and a roofied drink.
Oh, no.
Supergirl is seduced by British Casanova Derek Marlowe. What she doesn't know is that he is an agent of Starfire, a flamboyant crime boss who wears a gem-encrusted eye patch, hell-bent on creating her own fempire.
Spoiler alert for those who are listening at home. If your seduction involves a roofie, then it is not seduction. It is assault. Carry on.
With the help of Dr. Kangle. Yes.
Kangle?
Kangle.
Mm.
And his son, Rue.
Yeah. They create a pill that takes away a super's powers, hence the roofie.
Ah.
Starfire sends all of her female army to loot the richest city in the United States. Supergirl makes a valiant effort to stop them, but is unable. Without her powers, Supergirl is an easy target for Starfire and her pet gorilla. Don't ask. Unfortunately, her plans were her own downfall. During the ensuing fight, Starfire is knocked out of a castle window, while Supergirl is literally powerless to save her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So there is everything you never wanted to know about some of the legion of regrettable superheroes in comic book history.
My God. What have we wrought upon this world? Who are the true villains here?
Let's see. I think I named them as the creators of those people.
Well, yeah. Sinestro.
So I want to thank our sponsors. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. GameStop, power to the players. And Gamefly, video games delivered. Please take a moment to leave us a review on your podcast service of choice. We appreciate it. Also, drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. Don't forget to listen to the gaming and movie segments coming up later this week, as well as our other podcasts. You Want Me to Watch What? Where Chad and I make each other watch movies that the other hasn't seen.
Mm-hmm. With mixed results.
With mixed results. And check out our YouTube channel for the latest episodes of Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics, where Darren and his spouse work out their marital differences through couch co-ops.
Yeah, we recently played...
That's not the tagline, that's just what I like to say.
We recently played both the old and new Battletoads, and let's just say we need to recover a little bit.
That one was a little rough.
It was
not
rough.
Not gonna lie.
No, it was rough, and rough in every possible way. Rough for our production, rough for the fact that it was Battletoads, it was just rough.
I mean, the original one, so it's about a half hour.
Yeah.
And the first 10 minutes is the original, and the second 20 minutes was the new.
Yeah, because we never got past mess. We never got past the speeder bikes in the original, so we're like, screw it, let's just jump to the new one.
Well, no one ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did get past the speeder bikes in the new one.
Yes.
You know, but it also looked easier.
It was. It was easier, and you did infinite lives and all that jazz.
So,
hey, comic books.
What about comic books?
We're promoting.
You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a whole gaming segment in which we can talk about this.
Fine. Let's do everything you want to do.
For the next minute and a half. Yeah, because it's my segment.
Carry on, 90-second Jim.
Also, finally, don't forget to donate or pass along the word about our Extra Life campaign. We would really appreciate it. And now, here is your out-of-context comic panel. We see Godzilla. He's making a layup shot with a basketball. He's sporting his size 286 Nikes, and it simply yet profoundly says, Godzilla got busy. For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the wonderful world of comics, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.